one time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Good afternoon. This is SWAT Radio, and I'm Tim Lusk, sitting in this couple of days for Doug and Brad, who are off doing things with their families and in their ministries and businesses. And I'm delighted to be here with you. This is SWAT Radio 91.7 in Jacksonville, Florida. And we've got a great program for you today. I'm excited for the two guests who are here with me. We're going to be talking about one of the most critical issues in our culture, the issue of babies, abortion, pro-life, and all that goes with that. And so I want to let you know that in the last section of our program, we will be taking phone calls, and you can do that at 904-401-1413, 904-401-1413. Now, let me introduce our guests today, and I'm just delighted to have these two ladies with me. First of all, Judy Weber is here. She is the CEO of First Coast Women's Services, and brought with her Nancy Kelly, who is the Director of Development for the same organization. Ladies, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Tim. So glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Judy, I have to start with you that also everybody should know, because this is obviously one of the most important things about you. You're now a grandmother.
Yes, that is the most important thing.
Yes, welcome to the club. I always say that grandchildren are God's grace for not killing our kids when they were teenagers.
Exactly. So. Yes.
So all you grandparents out there, it's always God's grace to give us a second chance to be around children, and I hope you'll love your grandkids well today. So, ladies, let's get into this. First Coast Women's Services is what? Judy, tell us what that is.
Well, I can begin by telling you what we tell people we are all about. Our purpose is to empower women to make informed choices about their pregnancy. So we try to provide love and care and service all free of charge to give them a chance to really seriously think about the unplanned pregnancy that they find themselves into, be sure that it is a valid pregnancy, provide help, and provide the love of Christ in word and deed, and also all kinds of services, free services for them, to help them through what could be one of the biggest crises of their lives. We're there all over Northeast Florida. We're available. We're free. We work through the love of Christ with these women and their families, often the boyfriend or the husband and the whole family. So we love to be able to provide just what we feel like Jesus would do if he were here. He would reach out compassionately to them one person at a time to help them during this time.
Yeah, we had a guest on a little while ago, and in response to a question I asked him, he said this. He said, well, you know, Jesus taught the truth, but he also had a touch. Mm-hmm. And as I listen to you describe, yes, and as I think about my own association with this organization over the years, I see the truth of Christ in what is there. But often that truth is not joined together with a touch of, mm-hmm, Christ's hand. And what you guys do in that organization is just truly phenomenal. And a part of the reason I wanted to have you here today is just to highlight what you guys do, and then also give you an opportunity to give any updates and information about the organization and the ministry you have. So, Nancy, you're the Director of Development. What does that mean?
That means that I help others and create relationship with the organization. So if we have a need, it is wonderful to allow people a chance to invest in the ministry, and they can do that through financial contributions. They can do that through donating in-kind donations, such as having baby showers for us. And they get to be a part of the organization as a whole, that they can begin to save lives indirectly, which, you know, we're on the front line, but they are equally as important helping us to do that.
Yeah. So that brings a question to my mind, and I want both of you to answer this. So both of you are obviously very gifted, very strong, very intelligent women who could probably do any ministry you wanted to do. Why this ministry? Why Crisis Pregnancy? Talk about how you got into this.
Well, for myself, I had had an abortion at the age of 17, and I did not have a place like First Coast Women's Services to go to. I did not know my options. I was just really blind and not understanding any other choice. And so I made an appointment to have an abortion, and my boyfriend dropped me off at the clinic. And I just remember being there and asking questions and those questions being avoided.
Yeah.
And so in my heart, you know, I just left there. I'm very broken and hurting. So I'm very thankful that God allowed me the opportunity to help others understand all of their options and have that care and support as they're walking through a very difficult time.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know that's even now a tender place in your heart. Judy, talk about your involvement.
Well, Tim, for me, it all culminated together about 11 years ago. God had allowed me to do amazing things since I first received Christ and began walking with him when I was very young, at age 16. And he brought people into my life to mentor me, to disciple me, and so forth all the way through. And then gave me, of course, the first and most wonderful job was to be a mother and to be a wife and to be very involved in a wonderful local church. But then other things, being on the St. Johns County School Board for 8 years, working with Project SOS, put me in contact with lots of young people. And even though I was the mother of three sons, often I really didn't know what was going on at school. And I began to see this tremendous problem that our young people were facing, that no one, for one, was telling them the truth, that what they would be facing if they became at an early age sexually active. And they were not knowing what to do. Many of them were going to have abortions without telling their families, and resulting in really sad consequences later. There were just a lot of things happening, and my heart just went out to them. And so when a small group of men I knew asked if I would like to do this ministry, I really prayed about it and then stepped into the position. But I had no idea what it would be like and how important I would begin to recognize that it is. Certainly, we never say that we are a church. We know it is the church that God has promised to bless and to continue. But we feel like as long as we are honoring him by the fact that he is the God of life, and we are loving these clients that he sends to us, and we are offering our help and our love to them, he's going to continue to allow us to be a parachurch ministry. And he's bringing more churches each year. In fact, each month, we just had three new churches in Baker County that have joined with us recently. Just constantly, we have like almost 135 churches now. I can't even keep up with it, that are active in our ministry in some way or other. And out of that grows tremendous number of volunteers in every community that we serve. And we are a volunteer led ministry. And I am so impressed with the volunteers that we have, men and women, and all that they do to share the love of Christ and to share the love of Christ even more sometimes than they're able to share the word of Christ.
You know, we think about how churches in the community might be ministering to you guys by contributing things, but one of the things you bring to the local church, among many other things, and it just occurred to me as you were talking, this is one issue that the body of Christ, no matter what your stream of faith is, your background, your denomination, non-denomination, whatever, this is one issue we all agree on. And so we can come to this flag, so to speak. We can come to the unity around this issue.
We've been very excited in the last few years to see more churches willing to speak up and address this topic from the pulpit. Somehow it was something that I think felt like you couldn't stay in a group where there might be children present. You couldn't talk about this issue. And yet more and more pastors are telling us, we realize now if we don't speak about this from the front in a loving way, recognizing there are many people in the audience who have been hurt by abortion in their personal lives and never told anyone, but we need to talk about it, about the truth. If we don't do it, it's going to continue to be believed that it's the one sin that Jesus' death on the cross did not cover.
Right.
So they are speaking up and speaking out, more and more of them all the time. And as you say, we embrace all different denominations. We have Catholic and Protestant and non-denominational. We have all Christian faiths who believe in Jesus Christ and his atoning shed blood on the cross and believe that God is a God of life and want to support that.
Yeah, so you talk about how you help someone. Nancy, you talked about not having that help when you were a young teenage girl and found yourself in that situation. And so you help people work through that decision to make the decision for life.
Right.
And then you have resources after that process. So talk a little bit about that. What do you provide for, let's say you had come into First Coast Women's Services and you had walked through their process, and through that you had decided that you were going to keep your child. So what comes next for you at First Coast Women's Services?
Well, as a client, once they do make a decision to choose life, we are able to then help them through counseling. They can come every couple of weeks and meet with the same counselor. They can build a relationship with that counselor, which I think is one of the most one of the things that sets us apart, because we are so relational and we care about that client, and it just doesn't end once they choose life. It just begins the relationship. And so we work with 33 other agencies in the city. We listen to what their needs are. We can help access those needs. They can go through our HOPE education program, and they can learn how to parent. They can learn how to have a healthy pregnancy and what that takes. They can watch videos. They can do lessons, and they just learn about everything from nursing their baby to relationship skills to self-sufficiency and how to manage their household.
Mm-hmm.
And we also help them. You know, sometimes there's places where we can just help pray with them about a job if they don't have a job. We can help them get maternity clothes, baby clothes. They can earn points through our Earn While You Learn program. And once they earn those points, they then can use those points in our baby and mommy boutique, and they can get a crib.
That's amazing. So, because one of the wraps on Christians, and especially conservative Christians who are so pro-life, is that often what that really means is we're pro-birth. You know, we want to make sure that the baby gets born, but what happens after that baby is born is often not addressed in a lot of the ministries and a lot of the things that happen in the church. So we're going to come back in a little bit. We're going to take a break in just a moment. We're going to come back and pick up on that, because all those services require people and stuff, and we want to talk about that. So this is SWAT Radio. Today we are having a conversation with Judy Weber, who is the CEO of First Coast Women's Services, and her colleague Nancy Kelly, who's the Director of Development for First Coast Women's Services. We're talking about babies being born and lives being saved and all kinds of wonderful stuff that happens through First Coast Women's Services. So we'll be back in just a moment.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Okay, we're back. This is SWAT Radio, Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. That's what SWAT stands for. We got out there in Radio Land, we have a lot of men who listen in and learning every day of women who listen in on this show. And we're delighted that all of you are listening in today. We're talking about probably the premier, from my perspective, the premier issue in our culture today. I remember the time when Mother Teresa spoke at the National Day of Prayer, and she, in a very prophetic way, kind of rebuked our culture for our view of children and unborn children. And I, as I watched that speech, I remember her saying to us, "America, if you don't want your children, send them to me. I'll take them." And it was a great, great moment for a tiny little lady to make a really big impact on our culture. We have Judy Weber here, who is the CEO of First Coast Women's Services, and Nancy Kelly, her colleague, who works in the development part of it. She's the director of development. And we were just talking about all the different services that you provide in your organization. And it's just amazing to me what your organization does, how much you do with so little. It's a friend of mine, Judy, that you and I both know, named Bud. He says it's a loaves and fishes kind of thing. You put little things in a bag, mm-hmm. and God makes big things come out of it. But that's because you're so committed to the principle that life is precious to God, and that every child conceived is a child that's made in the image of God. And we take our calling, do we not? Our parenting, our grandparenting, our ministries in our churches, from the reality that all people are made in the image of God. So let's come back to this. Nancy, you were just talking about all the different services that are provided. Let's start with, how many different centers do you have, Judy?
We have four centers, four that are buildings, one in the Mandarin area of Jacksonville, one at the beach, one out in Clay County in Orange Park, one out in Baker County in McClenny, and then we have a mobile pregnancy center that also all of our centers can do pregnancy testing, free pregnancy testing, and limited ultrasound. Our mobile center, being smaller, it's like when you see the blood mobile, it looks a lot similar to that, can provide the options counseling, the pregnancy test, and the ultrasound right on the mobile center. And we take it to more underserved areas. We are now starting this week, for instance, going to be over at the Potter's House on the west side on their property. We go down by the airport and provide there in the Walmart parking lot. We're in a Save-A-Lot parking lot over near JU. We're next door to Planned Parenthood in a Woody's parking lot. We have five different locations that we go every week and provide our free services. But we are able, within our brick-and-mortar buildings, to provide what Nancy mentioned, the HOPE program, the program that allows a young woman and man, if he chooses to come, and more of them do all the time, come and get education and earn while you learn. They earn, everything is free, but they earn it by coming to their lessons with their mentors, male mentors for the men, female mentors for the women. They stay with us throughout their pregnancy, and they can stay up to a year afterwards, because we do care. Of course we care about the baby, but we know that we can't change a woman's mind about choosing life. All we can do is minister to that woman and to her family, and to give them the truth in a kind and loving way, and show them that there is support for them, not just from us, but from many other organizations within the community.
So, I think people who aren't familiar with what you do sometimes maybe have in their mind this sort of little group of right-wing people who are just angry about abortion all the time. As I'm listening to you talk, I'm listening to how professionally done this ministry is. You have doctors that are involved, nurses that are involved.
Yes.
You have people who do the medical tests. You have the testing equipment. Mm-hmm. You have counselors. You have business people. There's a lot of people in this town who are connected to this.
That is true. And from the beginning, this ministry began serving clients back in 1992. So neither Nancy nor I have been here from the beginning, but I was so pleased to learn when I first came on board how professionally it had been done from day one, from just the setting up of the of their charter, of the way the ministry was incorporated as a Christian nonprofit, our board of directors, everything we do. We have core values. We have things that keep us doing everything with excellence. You mentioned the medical part. We have a medical director who reads every single scan from all five locations, including our mobile unit. We have a nurse manager. And within our centers, our sonographers are very, very highly trained and qualified and certified so that they're all on staff with us. We have over 250 volunteers.
Wow.
But our medical staff are part of our staff. They're paid. We pay for their continued education and training. And we want everything we do to be done with excellence. No way that we can be accused of not following the laws of the land in every way. We provide what the government asks us to, a huge 990 form every year. So we do try to do things with excellence, but more than anything else, we try to do it, as you said, with kindness and compassion. And we're not out here alone. I don't want to make it seem like First Coast Women's Services are the only people in the whole United States or world who are doing what we are doing. We're part of two large national organizations called CareNet and the other one called Heartbeat, made up each one of more than 1,000 pregnancy resource center ministries, some of them in foreign countries, some of them in countries that would surprise you that are undercover doing this work. Mm. And we're also ECFA, that's the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability.
Yeah.
So people can feel comfortable that when they donate to us, that the money's going to be used in the proper way and going to be accounted for in the proper way. We work very hard to do that, but I'd say more than all of that are those wonderful volunteers that we have who are passionate about this, but they're not angry. I'll give you an example. We don't ever give out information about our clients, not names, not centers, not anything, even in our prayer texts that I can talk about later. But within the last few days, we had a very, very young client under the age of 14, who was there with her grandmother, great-grandmother, actually, and just didn't know what to do and thought she had no choice, but she would need to abort this baby. So while she was there seeing the sonogram, which showed a very healthy baby, far enough along that definitely, you know, we see them, we like to see them at least 8 or 9 weeks when they're really, really active. This baby was even older than that. I sent out a prayer text, and so almost 1,400 people were just bombarding the gates of heaven with prayers for this young girl and for her family and for her situation. And by the time she left, she and her relatives all said, no, we could not possibly terminate this baby. We are going to bring this baby into the world, and we as a family are going to embrace this baby. And it was just thrilling to see that, to know that the kindness that she was shown, no judgment, no criticism. I mean, can you imagine being in a tougher spot than a person that young, trying to face that situation? But she did have great support from her family, from her great-grandmother, and that was hugely helpful in her being able to feel able to walk through this. So we see this every day. I don't mean to say all our clients. I thought all our clients would be young teenagers. To tell you the truth, they're more like college age, not necessarily in college, but our average client is more 18 to 24 years of age and often by herself.
So in that story, you're saving a lot of lives in a lot of ways. You're saving a baby. You're involved in saving this young girl who's going to go forward in her life, and God is going to be present in helping her work through these issues as she grows. And you're also saving a family.
Right.
Yeah. I want to circle back. We mentioned men a moment ago, but you and I've had this conversation a lot, and I've said in many contexts that I think abortion is very much a male issue. and I think it's extremely important for men to be involved in this. And that's why I wanted to have you here, because with the SWAT ministry focusing on men and their relationship with Christ and their walk with the Lord, out there listening and involved in the SWAT ministry are men, on top of men, just lots, dozens of men who can be very critical. And you shared a couple of statistics one time, and it kind of floored me. So the statistic of when a woman or a girl, in this case, actually sees the living baby, statistically, what percentage of those women choose to keep the baby?
Yes, that's a statistic that shocked me too when I began to do this. If the mother of the baby sees the ultrasound and sees the child, 85% of the time she's going to choose life. But what was more amazing to me is if the father of the baby, or who is usually her boyfriend, sometimes a husband, or if she's very young, it could be her father, comes in and sees the ultrasound, it goes to over 99% of the time. He will encourage her to choose life because God has made men to be protectors of life. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to know that or understand it or be a Christian. Our sonographers say they just watch the change come over his face. He recognizes the life that is there, and he might not want to even stay around and be part of her life, but he wants to protect that child. He wants her to choose life for that child, and it often can change a man who his sole purpose was just to get her to have an abortion because, and I'm not trying to dump it all on men, but many times what we see, it is the father of the baby who is pushing for the abortion because he's not feeling connected with this child, this unborn child. And it's interrupting the lifestyle that he's been able to live. Mm-hmm. And if he has a chance to come in and not only see the baby, but then interact with a mature Christian man who may have been where he is and may have chosen life or may have chosen abortion or may just know as a father or a grandfather how precious the life is, who can not judge him, not jump all over him, but just ask him a few simple questions. How do you feel about this? Have you told her how you feel about this? And give him some information. Educate him about all of the choices and options that are out there and that no one is pressuring him necessarily to step up and marry this girl, but they are telling him, you are now a father and you have responsibility toward this unborn child, and now you've seen that child. And
right.
Makes such a difference. We're having, we have every year a larger percentage of our clients are bringing their boyfriends or fathers or men with them, and a larger number of our volunteers. It's now up to, I believe, 12% of our 250-plus volunteers that are actually men.
So we're gonna come back after break, and I'm going to tee this up for you, Nancy. So there's men out there listening to this, and they're being stirred inside by these stories, and they're saying, so how do I help? What can I do? I'm a guy. I have no clue, you know, what to do here in terms of pregnancy and all that. That sounds like women's stuff. But when we come back after this hard break we take for the news, I want you to help us answer that question. What can the SWAT men do? This is SWAT Radio. I'm Tim Lusk sitting in for Doug and Brad. And we're delighted to have Judy Weber and Nancy Kelly here from First Coast Women's Services. And we'll be back in just a moment. And we're back. This is SWAT Radio, and I'm Tim Lusk. I have the joy of pastoring a wonderful group of people at Eastside Community Church. And Brad and Doug are away for today, tomorrow, and the next day. I'll be sitting in and helping them, and I'm delighted to be here. We're talking about probably the most, or certainly one of the most important issues in our society today. We're talking about the issue of unborn children, about ministry to women who are in crisis in their pregnancies, and how God is using a wonderful group of people called First Coast Women's Services and other people who are not part of this organization around the city. And our joy today is to have Judy Weber, who is the CEO at First Coast Women's Services. Nancy Kelly is the Director of Development. And before the break, we were talking about, I mean, Judy, you were just talking about all kinds of things that go on and the importance of what you do and the services. And I'm just thinking of myself as a guy listening on the radio, driving across the bridge or whatever, listening to the two of you talk, and I'm stirred by this. I don't know how you can't be stirred by, I mean, Judy, you said it in the first minute we were on the air, you said we're in the front lines of this issue, this cultural issue. Roe v. Wade was 73? 72. And so I read a statistic the other day that something like 60 million babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade. And by the way, the other statistic I saw was that if you totaled up, there are 14 states in the United States of America, if you totaled up all the population of those 14 states, that's how many people, how many babies have not been allowed to come to full life in this culture. And your organization and others, you're out there fighting like crazy, not just the cultural battle, but beneath that, this personal work with people. And you see the hand of Christ come from you, reached out to these men and women. And it's just an amazing thing that you do. But as a man sitting out there listening, driving around his car or streaming this on his iPad or whatever, he's stirred right now. He, you know, there's a couple guys out there who have tears in their eyes when they hear the stories. You know, this young girl, you know, not even close to womanhood yet, and how God is ministering. What does he do with that energy? Because, you know, I see masculinity as a kind of energy. It either goes good or it goes bad. And so men get stirred up, and they need to move. They need movement. They need something to do. What is this guy? He's a businessman, or this woman, she's a businesswoman, or they're, you know, whatever they got. How do they help you?
Well, I think the first step is just acknowledging that it's not just a woman's issue, that abortion is not just a woman's issue, and coming into the center, it involves both a man and a woman. And so one thing that we have built up our men's ministry program, and it's a very vital part, as we've seen through the years as it has grown, the number of new, the total ministry visits that we had for the men in 2017 was 632 men were seen.
Wow.
And so if a man wants to get involved, a great way is to become a volunteer at First Coast Women's Services, and we do train all of our volunteers very thoroughly, so he will be prepared and ready to...
Yeah, I'm thinking of the barriers that a guy has to get over,
right,
to park his car there at the First Coast Women's Services,
right,
building and walk into this beautifully appointed thing that looks very feminine, and then it's mostly women that are there. So to have men who would be part of that,
right,
who would help, is a significant thing.
Well, you know, I know when I started working at First Coast about 10 years ago, I was really surprised at how many men came in with the women and sat in our waiting room and were there. And so when the women go back and have their pregnancy test and they meet with their counselor, we will have one of the men that is a male counselor, a mentor, go up to the front and ask this young man if he would like to come back and have a cup of coffee and would like to talk. And it could be even a father who has brought his daughter to the center. He might have thought we were an abortion clinic, and he just thought, okay, my daughter's pregnant. I just want this problem to go away, and I'm going to bring her in here for an abortion. And once he comes in and he knows that we are not an abortion provider, and we do not refer for abortion, we then start talking to them. We can have the counselor talk to his daughter, and then we will ask a male mentor then to talk to him and, you know, find out what his concerns are. And they can sit and share. I think men kind of do the shoulder-to-shoulder,
right,
kind of talking, you know, where women are more kind of face-to-face. But it's like, how do you feel about this? As Judy said, you know, you didn't expect this, but now this is in your lap. And what do you plan on doing about that? And they can lead and guide them in that conversation.
You know, what I've found in men's ministry is that we often say that women do relationships so much more quickly and more deeply, but what I find is that when men finally do it, they can go very deep, and their loyalty to the things of God can be really riveted, rock solid. So having men who just, I mean, there's a guy out there going, well, I don't know if I could do that. It's really a lot about showing up, getting a little bit of training, and just being willing to have normal men conversations with,
right,
guys. Yeah,
and they're afraid too. I mean, there's a lot of fear, and when there's fear, there's just like, I want this to go away. I mean, that's a natural reaction, and you just don't know what to do about it, and you really need help. You need someone to help you with maybe your thought process, or just, you know, laying it all out on the table and,
right,
saying, you know, what can be done. So I think First Coast Women's Services provides a safe place for men to openly discuss their concerns, emotions, and questions relating to the pregnancy, the unplanned,
yeah,
pregnancy. And, you know, we talk about, you know, what does biblical manhood and fatherhood look like? You know, how they can develop once they do choose life for that baby, then how can they go about learning, you know, how to be a really positive male role model in that child's life and in the life of the mother that is, you know, the mother that is carrying the child and is going to have the child.
Yeah, that's the obvious thing that when you're that age and you're looking at a baby,
right?
And in many cases, you're not even married yet. And so, you know, you're looking at the next 25 years of your life, realistically, are going to be radically altered by perhaps the whole rest of your life. So the pressure on the woman or the girl is just unbelievably intense. I think it's easy for us as Christians to judge women, but not understanding at all the pressure that a lot of the women are under and the desperation. But that also goes to the men as well, because I was happily, you know, my wife was happily pregnant with our first baby, and we were looking forward and glad. And even with that, I was terrified, absolutely terrified to be a father, you know, to figure out how all this works, and feeling totally incompetent. So the word that came to my mind as you were talking is hope, that in that process, you get to give people hope. Judy, you got something on your mind?
Well, one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking about how the men are feeling and the women, and we give them a chance to slow down. They often come in and they think, I have to make a decision about this today. Mm-hmm. And the most logical decision is we'll just end this. We'll just terminate this and get on with our lives. But if they have a place with people who are not parents, grandparents, they're not as involved, to sit down and just take a deep breath and relax. And then if they can get some education, we have, of course, provided, now we have iPads with wonderful information on it that they can watch, see what the baby, even if they haven't done the ultrasound yet or they're not far enough along to get a good ultrasound picture at 7 or 8 weeks, then they can see that how that baby is developing. They're surprised. They can get the confidence to become a father, and also how to help this young woman, the mother of the baby, and the fact that there are so many, and I'm sure that the guys in SWAT have experienced this, maybe many of them don't have a male role model in their lives.
Yeah.
They have no father or no relationship with their father. There's no man they can really turn to. And find a man that they can trust that isn't going to tell them what to do. We can't tell them what to do. We don't. But is just going to lay out in front of them all of their choices, knowing they have to make this decision. But they are so important to helping this young woman choose for life. They are the most important decider in her. If she feels that my boyfriend or my father, sometimes even my brother, if he says, what your choice, you choose life, I can stand with you. I will help you in whatever way I can. What they often say, I would say they think they're doing the right thing, but what they often say is, whatever you want to do is okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably to a man sounds like he's being supportive, but what it says
to
the woman.
Not being supportive.
No. What it says to her is, you're on your own.
Right.
You make your own decision and you live with it. I don't care. In other words, and they may care very much, but they don't know what to do. And so to help equip them for another man to say, equip them to be able to stand with her and support her in whatever ways he can. He may not be able to marry her. That might not be the right choice for them, but he can be supportive to her and for the pregnancy and for this child.
Yeah, it's an amazing process. And what's interesting is when they begin to make that choice for life, then they begin to change.
Yes.
And this happens in your post-abortive discipleship program.
Yes.
Both with men and women. And I want to circle back before we end with this, because this is the piece of the puzzle that I've personally been able to be involved in. And it's been, I consider, of all the things I do as a pastor, and as a man, follower of Jesus, this is pretty much as close to the most sacred thing I do, is help with this process. And it's a real privilege to see God. God works in such amazing ways when we acknowledge that His image is what we're fighting for here, his glory. And people see that in, they see that in the sonogram. They see that in the people that are ministering to them. And it's just an amazing way that the body of Christ reaches out. Hey, this is SWAT Radio, and I'm Tim Lusk, setting in Doug and Brad today in a couple more days. And we're talking about not just abortion, but what happens when women are pregnant and in crisis. And we're here with Judy Weber, who's the CEO of First Coast Women's Services. Nancy Kelly is the Director of Development. And we're going to come back and give the last quarter of this hour to talking about some very practical ways you can be involved in helping with this issue. We'll see you in just a moment.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on The Truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
All right, we're back. This is SWAT Radio. I'm Tim Lusk, sitting in for Brad and Doug this week, and we are having a very important conversation today about the subject of abortion, the subject of crisis pregnancy, and not just a philosophical, theological discussion. I'm here today with two wonderful ladies in our community who are on the front lines, have been fighting this issue and fighting for the lives of unborn children and fighting for the good and abundant life of mothers and fathers in this community. Judy Weber's here. She's the CEO of First Coast Women's Services. Nancy Kelly, her colleague, is the Director of Development. And we've been talking about all kinds of things, but I want to come back to this this issue of how you can help people with a discipleship program. So you not only help people who come in who are making the decision, but you have a lot of women who come who've already had an abortion. You shared your own personal story about that, Nancy. And so what do we do with them? You have a genius program, a post-abortive discipleship program, and it's a hard program. They have yes, to work hard, don't they?
It takes quite a commitment, first of all, just for someone to have the courage to say, I want to join one of these groups. It's all very confidential. We have groups in all areas of North Florida. Well, we may have a group at the beach, one out in Clay, one in Baker, one in Mandarin. I don't even know who's in those groups because it's kept extremely confidential. And it might be three or four women with two mentors going through a program called Forgiven and Set Free. Mm-hmm. It lasts for 12 weeks, and it is quite intensive. Now, anyone who wishes to be a volunteer board member or staff member at First Coast Women's Services, if they have abortion in their past, they will go through that program. They may think, well, I've already been healed, God's healed me, but without exception, those who go through it say, I realized there were still some areas in my heart that needed healing. The men also, but they would go through one-on-one with another man who has experienced abortion, and they go through a book called Fatherhood Aborted. Mm-hmm. But at the end of these 12-week classes, they have a memorial service. It's planned by the ladies in the service. It can be whatever their choice is, and a way to honor their children. And I'm going to come back to that in just a second. But I do want you to know we also have a memorial for the unborn downtown on the campus of First Baptist Church. They have allowed us to set up a memorial. And so babies who have been aborted, those mothers during the Forgiven and Set Free often say that God tells them the name and the sex of those children, even if they did not know prior. Right. And they memorialize them with plaques on the wall and plaques in the National Memorial for the Unborn. Women who have experienced miscarriage, stillbirth, or early infant loss, and we have a ministry for that also, they may put plaques on the ground, pavestones on the ground with the names of those children. So it's a chance to honor these children that are back in the arms of Jesus until we see them again. But I know, Tim, you have been so important to this ministry. You were actually our first speaker at our Sanctity of Human Life breakfast, the first one that we had. And I know that now you have spoken more than once at these memorial services, which once again, it's quite confidential, although usually after the service, those people are much more willing to share. They want others to have the freedom that they've received. And so I'm going to ask you to share a little bit about what that's like to be the person who speaks at the memorial.
Yeah, what an incredible privilege to be asked. So the women go through this 12-week program. And then one of the last things they do is, as Judy said, you have a memorial service. So sometimes it's at someone's home. Sometimes it's at the center. I've done several of these. And each of the women will then give a name. They will name their child. They will memorialize their child by doing some act. Some play a song. Some read a poem. Whatever. The last one I was at, a woman who loves to do crafty things was had created these crafts that she was selling to make money for another ministry. So they're making this choice that they made in this crisis moment have some redemptive value. And I get to be the pastor who speaks to them, who speaks the life, the love of Christ into their lives. And the most recent one, there were actually 10 children memorialized in this particular one. But what I wanted to focus on in that story is there was another guy there, and it turns out he was the husband of one of the women that was there. And he started out like, "Why am I here? This seems weird." And within 5 minutes of what was happening, he's in tears, and he turns to his wife and said, "You know, I'm so honored that you invited me to be part of this." This is the part that I really wish we could really get men to grasp. Judy, what you said, men are created to be protectors. And when we see this as more than just being angry, being political, writing blogs, all those things are appropriate in their own way and time. But the personal engagement of men with women in this and standing with them. There's a picture in the book of Judges where the man in the story left his daughter out at night to be ravaged by the men of the city. And in the morning, he opens the door and her hand is across the threshold of the door. And it reminds me of what it's like for a woman when the church is not there for her. And I want to challenge pastors that are listening today. You know, this is not just a political issue. It's not something just to preach about. This is something that we do as men, as we're called by God to love life, to create life, to procreate life, to engage in life, and to protect life. So we've got a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that you get in all the information you need. So before we do anything else, make sure that everybody hears, how do we contact you? Is there a phone number, website? What do we do with it?
Yes, there are both. The best phone number is area code 904-262-6300. And our website is simply the letters of our organization. So it is www.fcws.org. First Coast Women's Services, fcws.org. And we want to, I've been talking about choices. I do want to end by saying one of the things is that we women come, they know that they have the right to have an abortion. They know that. We talk to them about all of their choices, though, that they also have the choice to choose adoption. They have the choice to choose parenting. And we want them to examine, have a chance to examine all three of the choices before they would make a choice that's going to never be able to be changed once it's made. So we have an wonderful adoption program to present to them what a great option adoption is. We're not an adoption agency in any way, but we can present the pros and cons of what a great option that now is. It's not like Lifetime television. It's very different. And they have a lot of choices about choosing the family for that baby and what they want for the child. That is one of the wonderful parts of our ministry. We also have a hope and healing ministry, because although women can be hurt through abortion, also many women are never allowed to grieve miscarriage, stillbirth, or early infant loss. Nor are the men in their lives, the grandparents. Men feel like the best thing to do is put on my work clothes and go back to work and just pretend like it never happened. But that is a loss that deserves to be grieved. And so we have hope and healing to allow them to be mentored by a person with the same loss, maybe just even over the phone, someone to talk to who can understand and help them be able to grieve that loss.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that is so true. So, Nancy, let me ask you. So, as people are listening, they may say, well, I can obviously give money. I mean, we always need money,
yes,
right?
We always need
all
money
ministry
to
needs money. And the more the better, right?
Absolutely.
But along with that, maybe there's someone out there saying, you know, I don't have a lot of money, and I really am not in a season of life where I could volunteer a lot of time to be a counselor or a mentor or whatever. But I do want to help. Is there stuff that you need? Can people bring stuff? Can they donate stuff? What? How can they help?
Absolutely. And really, even if you can donate $1 a month, that's, you know, just to have that faithful support for us makes a difference in the ministry and how we can keep, you know, operating and providing these services for free. You know, definitely a way to collect maternity clothes, baby clothes, do diaper drives. We always have beautification projects that men do at our four facilities, just clean up, you know, around the yard, come and cut the lawn, you know, those type of projects we always need.
Oh, yeah, and that's a lot of ways that people can get involved. We do the baby bottle thing at our church, which you do during the year, where you fill baby bottles full of change and give it back. I think a lot of people don't realize, they think that because I don't have a lot of money, I'm not much of a contributor, you know, giver. There's so many things in the kingdom of God that can be given, time and treasure and sweat and work and possessions and all kinds of things that can help.
And prayer is the most essential thing. That is what the foundation of this ministry is built on, is the love of Jesus Christ. And we stand in the truth, but the prayer is so important to our ministry.
Yeah.
We're facing a battle every day. And we know that God is raising up a standard against the enemy, and we need men in this battle. We need men to stand with us and to circle around the wagons and to pray.
Yeah.
And they can join our prayer text team and get those prayer texts that we send out whenever a woman is determined to abort, or maybe the boyfriend is unsure, or the father, or the family. And so that makes a huge difference in them making a decision to choose life. We storm the gates of heaven and prayer. And so it matters. And so I just want to invite any of these men that are listening and women to join us in our prayer text.
Yeah, we say in our church, prayer is the work, ministry is the reward.
Yes.
And that's really where the battle is. So if I wanted to be on this text thing, you mentioned 1,400 people were praying. How do I do that?
And I'll let Judy discuss that in one second. And I do want to say the other thing is just pointing people in the direction to get the services that they need.
Yeah.
If they meet anyone who is facing an unplanned pregnancy crisis, whether in church or outside of church, that they would send them to First Coast.
Maybe take them by the hand and bring them.
Right? Absolutely.
And be with them. So real quick, we're down to the last few seconds here. How does somebody get on the...
The best way to do it is to contact the phone number that we gave out, which is 904-262-6300, and ask how to get in the prayer texting, because if I give it to you right now, I'd be Hard to remember unless you were writing it down. The best thing to do is just contact us and say, I'd like to get the prayer text. You don't have to respond to them. Just stop wherever you are when your phone rings and pray.
Okay, so we're down to the final 10 seconds. Nancy Kelly, Judy Weber from First Coast Women's Services, fighting the battle. Let's get in the battle with them. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care. This is SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.